This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
I want to welcome in Rachel Clare, an author, editor, gardening writer. She's obsessed with flowers, but has written hundreds of articles on anything botanical, from Kōwhai to compost. She's an associate editor for Kiwi Gardener, former editor of Get Growing Organic New Zealand, and really passionate about connecting tamariki to taiao as well. So we're going to talk about that. Rachel, good morning.
Morena Kelly, thank you for having me on this morning.
And so where are you right now? I know that you'll be in Kirikiriro next Thursday, but where are you based?
I am in Waitakere in Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland, and we've had two incredible icy mornings, which is so rare for us. So our wheelbarrow had water in it, and it's frosted over, and the plants have been iced over, and I know it's not a novelty for anyone who regularly has that kind of weather in winter, but it's a novelty for us. Even my 16-year-old was out there experimenting with all the ice, the sheets of ice in our wheelbarrow.
It is unique. I mean, we get frost here, but I don't remember them being this cold. However, I was brought up in Southland, so a frost down there is different to a frost up here.
I know.
So I still find it quite novel. I don't like trying to get into the car in the morning, but I do find it quite novel and really beautiful. If you've got the view, it's nice.
And it's really good for the garden because, you know, it kind of cleans things out.
I was going to ask you about that. Maybe we'll come to that after.
Well, for spring.
Oh, that's good then. We'll be all set up very well for spring. But I wanted to start by asking where your lifelong love of plants has come from. Because to be a gardening writer, I mean, you've got to love it, don't you?
Oh, yes. I just think I always loved flowers. I remember being very young and pushing like my doll's pram around mum's garden and pretending all the plants were like picking them. She wouldn't have always been thrilled. And pretending they were kind of, my pram was a supermarket trolley and that the plants were my ingredients that I was buying from the supermarket. And I had a mum who loves gardening, and I had a grandmother who was obsessed with gardening and really encouraged kind of our interest in plants and was always growing things in yogurt pottles and doing bonsai, and she grew lots of roses. And she used to get New Zealand Gardener magazine, where I used to work. Now I'm at Kiwi Gardener. And so, you know, I kind of was reading that from quite a young age. So it was just a passion I've always had.
So it sounds like it was really nurtured by them. You know, when I think of gardening, it was always a chore. So it's really nice to hear that for some people, it's nurtured to be curious about it and to really enjoy, I guess, the fruits of your garden rather than considering it just like a chore you have to do because you were told to.
Yeah, some people think of it as outdoor housework, don't they?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was talking to my hairstylist about it the other day, and she was like, I know it's good for you, so I keep doing it, but I really don't like bugs. And, I think I've just always found it's a really great way to connect with nature, and I've done it as a job as well. So that's, you do get really exhausted, but it's so good for your mental well-being. Anyone who gardens a lot will know how kind of you can sort through problems while you're weeding. Touching the soil is really good. We're outside. You know, it's kind of our way of connecting with nature in a domestic situation. And, just so many studies show the benefits of gardening for us. And when people don't enjoy gardening, I always think, I recommend that they just find plants that they're interested in, or, you know, maybe houseplants are your thing, or if you don't remember to water, maybe cacti, or maybe you just want one really big, beautiful magnolia or a Kōwhai, or, there's so many ways to kind of explore gardening and lots of different ways to garden.
Yeah, my interest in it has definitely increased over time, and it's usually connected to kai, which is not the same as flowers, but I guess similar. You're still nurturing. Anyway.
Pretty important.
It's very important. And you were talking before about pushing a pram around and picking those flowers like a supermarket, and I guess at one point in time it was kind of what was going on here in Aotearoa. But I digress. You're also really passionate about connecting tamariki to taiao. So could you talk to us a little bit about your book? Because it was recognised in 2025 as a finalist in New Zealand Book Awards for children.
Yes. So Play Wild is a book of nature crafts for tamariki. And it has about more than 40 different projects that children can do outside. And I really wanted activities that were really accessible to any kid. They don't have to have a garden. So things where you could use dandelions or moss or leaves, or you could go to a park and, you know, you could put some double-sided tape on your hand with the sticky bit on the outside and, you know, then go and explore and, you know, and put leaves and things on it to decorate it, or pictures that you can make on the ground, or playing noughts and crosses. You know, you can play noughts and crosses with dandelions and pebbles and make a grid out of sticks. And I also, you know, I wanted there to be things. I really wanted it to have an upcycling focus, because I found with my own kids that, you know, often we wanted to do cool things like make slime, but we'd have to go and buy ingredients and it all adds up. So, you know, one of the projects in the book is making like a decorating a jar. So it could be, you know, old peanut butter jar or something, decorating that with pressed flowers. And then you can put like a little battery-powered tea light in and it looks magical. Or like another one was just using old milk bottles and turning, like kind of drawing on those and cutting them out and turning them into animals and then potting them up with herbs. So, you know, and these are starting points, because then you really just want tamariki to kind of take it away and do their own thing, you know, and use their own their imaginations to kind of develop the projects further. So kind of, you know, a starting point to lead into free play, you know, and we all, you know, I've got two teenagers, we're all trying to get that balance right with screen time and getting our kids outside. So kind of I really looked at having activities for a range of age levels.
I really like the mix of you've got the nature, you've got the reuse and upcycling, and that creative aspect to it as well. Like combined, that has to be a winner. And it's got to get people off screens when you can do things like that, that you have something so pretty afterwards too, as your outcome, I guess, or what you create.
Yeah, and things that are kind of ephemeral as well. So, you know, the idea that, you know, you might just do a project and it doesn't last. So I did something kind of from the book the other night with the our cold temperatures, because I knew we were going to, you know, have -2 in Auckland. I was like, oh, freezing's at 0 degrees. So I made these ice sculptures, which I actually just did in our Matariki issue of Kiwi Gardener with stars. But so I put, I got my cake tins, I've got a really pretty heart-shaped one, and I put some water in them, just, you know, like a couple of centimetres, and put some flowers in. And then I got some harakeke and, like, just stripped it to make a little tie for it and put those in the water. And then I put them outside overnight. And, yeah, and then yesterday morning they were frozen.
Oh, I wish I knew this yesterday.
So that was my own nature crafting for myself.
That's really cool. Yeah, what an awesome idea. We better talk about your book, but I just want to start with can you tell us about Tryphena Cracknell, who's the co-author of the Aotearoa in Bloom?
Yes. So Tryphena is my oldest, dearest friend, and her and I grew up in Hawke's Bay. We're both from Napier, and we became friends when we were at Colenso High School. We were put in the third form together back when it was the third form, and yeah, we just were kind of kindred spirits and immediately bonded. It was the 90s. We used to listen to Martika, and we'd make Tryphena introduce me to chocolate fondue, and we did this school assignment together, which was where we were kind of combining Greek and Māori mythology. And so we've actually collaborated together before. So, and then we flattered together. We both went to university in Wellington. And, you know, now we have holidays together with our whānau and, Yeah, we've just been friends all our lives, and I'm really feel very, very blessed to have her as my friend. And she is also, she has a background in art curation. She's worked for a number of museums and galleries. She worked at Te Papa, like she was in the first intake back when Te Papa opened. And she also has worked for DOC, so she lived on the Chatham Islands for quite a few years, working for DOC and also in Hawke's Bay. So, yeah, she was just the perfect person to write our book Aotearoa in Bloom with. And, you know, we shared the workload and we chose the plants that we both kind of really felt emotional connections to, and it was just really wonderful to collaborate.
Can you remember what it was that was a decision maker for you working together on a project?
A deadline, no. Oh.
So, I mean, had you talked about perhaps collaborating together?
I started off on the project and I was working on it, and I was kind of like, oh, this would be, it would be so, I was telling her about it, and I said, oh, it would be so good to have you working on it too. And, yeah, and then she was, I asked my publisher and they let her come on board. And I just think often projects are so much better when you collaborate with the right people. And Shrafina, you know, she whakapapas to Mahia, and she brings, you know, so much of her experience in galleries and of the natural environment around there. And, yeah, it's just made it a really, really special book.
Yeah. So what did she bring to the decision-making around what flowers to include in the book?
Well, it was like Facebook Messenger initially, where I was like, I'll do Kōwhai. And she said, I'll do Nushikaka. And so initially we just kind of, you know, there were plants we had emotional connections with, and she loves Nutukaka. It's a special plant around Mahia, and they, you know, regrow, you know, they're growing it. There's lots of kind of conservation schemes because this plant would be extinct in the wild if it wasn't for conservation programs. You know, Graham Atkins in Tairawhiti is doing a lot of work protecting Nutukaka, and there's even a festival that happens every year now in Ruatoria. I think it happened last year. So she chose that one. And then Kōwhai, I've just always loved them. I think so many New Zealanders love them. We know that, you know, in the early 1920s, people were often voting for it as flower of the year, because I think we just, they're just spectacular, those sulfur-coloured blooms, the way they look like, you know, kind of a golden fairy tale tree. And so then we really wanted to make sure we included, like, you know, the big popular plants like Pōhutukawa, Rata, and then things that people don't know about. So, you know, we have Edelweiss in New Zealand, which are so cute. They look like little, they look like flowers made of wool. They're like adorably fuzzy. And we have native geraniums. People don't realise that, you know, we think of geraniums as the plants, the kind of the orange and red coloured plants we buy at the garden centre, but we have native geraniums that used to grow quite widely. And we have, you know, we have our beautiful pua wānanga, our clematis, which will be flowering soon. So we've got quite a few species of those. So there's just, we wanted to, and we also wanted to feature plants that people could grow. So we've got we've got plants that you can't grow, you have to see in the wild, like our incredible native orchids and the Edelweiss. But then we wanted to provide gardening information for people so they could choose plants for, you know, tricky areas, dry spots, damp areas, shade. So we've got a list at the back of the book with those plants.
Sorry, so for people who want to learn a little bit more about the plants you feature, the plants you feature in the book, and to hear about, I guess, your working together, they can come to an illustrated talk at Aotea and Bloom event Thursday the 13th of August at the Central Court in Hamilton Gardens Pavilion, where you will both be. I bet that'll be fun for you. There's no need to register. Entry is $10 cash, and there's more information on the Hamilton Book Month. We've run out of time, Rachel. I'm so sorry. But thank you
That's
so much for joining us this morning.
It's been lovely to chat. And yes, We've got beautiful images in our book from beautiful botanical drawings from early botanical artists. So, yes, come along. And we've got lots of slides, and it'll be really fun. And there's a fun quiz we're going to do and give away a book. And, yeah, we're excited to be coming to Hamilton Gardens because it's amazing.
It is. It's particularly good for you and Trofina as well. So thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Kelly, and have a lovely day.
You too. It's Rachel Clare coming to talk about the book she's co-authored with her friend Trofina Cracknell. It's called Aotearoa in Bloom. There is an event again on Thursday the 13th of August at Central Court Hamilton Gardens. You can find out more on hamiltonbookmonth.com.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.